day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Semler Scientific Q1 2017 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Before you begin, Semler Scientific would like to remind you that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements can be identified by words such as may, will, expect, anticipate, estimate, or words with similar meaning. Such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause Semler Scientific's actual results to differ materially from those discussed here. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect Semler Scientific's opinions only as of the date of this presentation, and it undertakes no obligation to revise or publicly release the result of any revision to this forward-looking statement in light of new information or future events. Please refer to Semler Scientific's SEC filings for more detailed description of the risk factors that may affect Semler Scientific's results in these forward-looking statements. Now, may I introduce Doug Murphy-Chutorian, CEO of Semler Scientific.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and thank you all for joining the Semler first quarter 2017 earnings call. Semler is an emerging growth company that provides solutions to improve the effectiveness of healthcare providers. Our mission is to develop, manufacture, and market innovative products that assist our customers to evaluate and treat chronic diseases. We believe that our technology and software solutions enable our customers to identify when preventative care options are appropriate, which allows them to intervene before events like heart attacks or strokes may occur. From a financial perspective, our near-term goals are to generate cash, to reach profitability, and to continue revenue expansion. With these goals in mind, we believe that after the first quarter of 2017, we are in the best position we have ever been. Our revenue in this first quarter was higher than in the same period of 2016, and although we do not give formal guidance, it's noteworthy that orders for larger than typical orders, quantities, excuse me, were received late in the first quarter of 2017 for delivery in the second quarter. So during the last earnings call, we mentioned that we were increasing expenditures for inventory, manufacturing, and delivery capacity in anticipation of such an uptick in orders for our QuantaFlo, which is our vascular testing product. Now, please refer to the financial results that are described in the press release, which was distributed this morning. For the quarter ended March 31, 2017, compared to the corresponding period of 2016, revenue grew $554,000, or 37%. Operating expense, which includes cost of revenue, increased by $372,000, or 15%. Other quarter-over-quarter details are as follows. Cost of revenue increased 29%. Engineering and product development expense increased by 63%. Sales and marketing expense was essentially flat with an increase of 1%. General administrative expense increased by 9%. Net loss was $871,000, or 17 cents per share, compared to a net loss of $1 million, or 20 cents per share. Weighted average number of shares was 5.2 million compared to 5.1 million. As of March 31, 2017, compared to December 31, 2016, Semler had cash of $159,000, a decrease of $463,000, primarily because accounts receivable increased $308,000, accounts payable decreased $140,000, purchase of new assets for lease were $399,000. All of this was partially offset by various non-cash operating activities such as depreciation, stock-based compensation, deferred revenue, and accrued expenses that will be or are enumerated in the first quarter 10-Q to be filed very soon. Additionally, as previously reported in our Form 10-K, we raised $475,000 in the first quarter from the sale of 190,000 shares of our common stock to accredited investors. Also in the first quarter, we made more investment in improving our products and service in direct response to customer requests. One example is cybersecurity. We added one-time development expense and/or engineering expense to both R&D and cost of revenue in an effort to be compliant with high-tech, high-trust guidelines, which we intend to protect the personal information of patients. We believe these investments further enhance the value of our service to the customers. Another item to mention, although first quarter 2017 revenue is higher than a year ago, it's lower than the fourth quarter 2016 revenue. We don't have enough company history to indicate that there is seasonality to our business. However, we do believe that one type of our customers, the home risk assessment company, does have a seasonal component to their business. So this type of customer performs fewer procedures in the first quarter relative to other quarters of the year. If this happens to be the case, the impact to us would be less fee per test business during the first quarter of the year relative to the other quarters. Now, for the rest of 2017, we expect revenue to grow due to increasing numbers of installations, higher average pricing, more per test fees, and recurring revenue from the licensing business. We have directed our efforts towards achieving accelerating growth as the year progresses in a manner similar to our success in this regard during 2016. Because we wanted to be ready for larger size orders of our vascular testing product, the company has and will run inventory levels at a higher level and has expanded capacity to do more manufacturing, more deliveries, and more installations. Rapid fulfillment of orders is beneficial when employing our licensing or our fee per test business model because revenue starts to flow when our product is shipped into the customer's facility. So the sooner we deliver, the sooner revenue is generated on any particular order. In the first quarter of 2017, operating expenses were impacted by higher one-time expenditures, such as those for R&D projects, cybersecurity measures, and the increased manufacturing and fulfillment capabilities. So all these programs are being completed, it is likely that other projects will be started, and operating expense should stabilize, but will be a function of the increasing book of business that we are managing. So to reiterate, although the company doesn't give formal guidance, it is our opinion that orders that were received in the first quarter for delivery in the second quarter are indicative of strong sequential quarterly revenue growth. In the first quarter of 2017 and in the year to date, Semler has, number one, increased customer acceptance of our next generation vascular testing product called QuantaFlow. Number two, added to our net QuantaFlow installations into our book of orders. Number three, increased our inventory, manufacturing capacity, and delivering capabilities. And number four, invested in high-tech, high-trust cybersecurity procedures and process. The goals in 2017 are to accelerate growth in revenue from the QuantaFlow product and to further establish it as a standard of care in the industry. We believe that the market for vascular disease testing is large relative to our current market penetration, so there's plenty of room for growth. We believe Semler is well-positioned in this healthcare market because we deliver cost-effective wellness solutions for the care of patients with chronic diseases. We may improve health outcomes for patients by identifying those who benefit from preventive health measures. And we provide economics that work for the providers, the facilities, the insurance plans, the government, and benefit the patient. So to conclude my prepared remarks, I'd like to reiterate that in terms of financial performance, and in helping to provide better medical care for a growing number of patients, I believe that we are on our way to our best year ever. I thank you for your interest in the company and your continuing support. And now, operator, please open the lines for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the star, then the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. And our first question comes from the line of Brian Marks with Zacks Investment. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Doug, and nice quarter.
Thank you, Brian.
You pretty much touched on all my questions, but maybe I can get a little bit more detail. So in terms of R&D, which, as you noted, was up a little bit, how kind of recurring or non-recurring should we think about the incremental spend in Q1? So let's just roughly say it was about 200, I think, from Q4. And it sounds like a lot of that has to do with basically just investments to build business, which is all good, but just trying to get more of a sense of how we think about this going forward. How one-time-ish was it, I guess?
Yeah, I think that, for example, it's up from what we were spending, approximately $250,000 a quarter, maybe a little bit more, and we spent closer to $440,000 this quarter. So it's up almost a couple hundred thousand. I don't think it'll stay up all that much, but probably another quarter of something close to that or a little bit less. But it should be going down. The cybersecurity part feels like it's going to be going down to, you know, basically zero one-time stuff. But there are some other interesting projects we have, and there's been a lot of activity. And so it allows us to continue to expand what the product can do, the features of the product can do, the stickiness of the product. So in other words, I see an opportunity here, and the company sees an opportunity to get more rapid growth by putting some engineering and product development dollars in. So it may tweak up a little higher than we had thought originally. And but you know, not substantially. These are not big bad dollars. There's some key expenses that we think we should put in place. Okay, so I hope that helps. That I think it's probably a little higher than you might have thought before, but kind of in keeping with the substantial increase in revenue. So it allows us to operate at a slightly higher engineering level, which is kind of the way we like to run the business, as fast as growth as possible.
Yeah, that is that's quite helpful. I think there was the term you used in the press release was manufacturing capacity was included in that. Can you any more kind of detail on what falls in that bucket of manufacturing capacity that would be expensed versus capitalized, I guess?
Oh yeah, most of it, as you may know, most of our manufacturers contract manufacturing. So just having the number of workers able to assemble our sensors to get the machines shipped in place, we were able to essentially double that capacity. And by doing that, you just have a few more people trained. It's not a big dollar amount in terms of that because it's borne by our manufacturers. We are just paying for any product that we buy, but that capacity was built in. On the other hand, there were some aspects of cybersecurity that sneak into cost of revenue as well, and so and some of which will be ongoing. In general, though, the cost of revenue, as you know, we have very high margins, and margin, if you will, revenue versus that cost of revenue is going to continue to improve, we believe, and improve substantially because some of those, as I said, one-time things will not recur.
Okay. So that potentially improves even in the current year from the Q1 level.
It should continue to get better. It should continue
okay,
to
good.
Get better because as the volumes increase, it really covers all the kind of overhead aspects of cost of revenue.
Okay. That's great. So in terms of the orders, it sounds like you had or perhaps continue to get order flow that maybe is at a higher level than maybe recent history. Can you talk about what the catalysts are behind the increase, uptick in order flow?
Well, it's mostly the marketing sales team is terrific. Some of the sales cycles that we have are relatively long. The recognition by the customers, particularly in looking at their own data, that they have substantial benefit for patients on a clinical basis, which they may not have published yet, but they certainly have that data. And that means that the patients are getting better. Things you'd look at would be like mortality improvements over the years, less cost for taking care of the patients, less ER visits. So there's a number of things that they've been looking at in their own data, and I think that they like. So because of that, they're saying this is good clinically, and then economically, we've described many times in the past how this apparently works very well for them. So I think the strength of what we do is it's fast, it's easy, it can be deployed in the primary care setting. You can get to the patients who need to be recognized, and many of the patients with this silent but lethal disease called peripheral artery disease and its associations with heart attacks and strokes, can be identified early with a device. And if that means that the preventative measures, some of which are simple, like exercise programs and tobacco reductions, and others which may be an early procedure that opens up an artery of the heart rather than someone coming in for an expensive heart attack and damage to their heart. These are the kinds of things that, you know, we were the vision of the founder and is really kind of what we're trying to follow up on, making it a standard of care in the industry to identify these, quote, millions of people with this disease that is prevention is preventable, or at least I wouldn't say palliable, but you know, heart disease may continue, but if you can stop it from happening early, you've done a great major thing for society. So we really think that's it. They're getting it. The larger groups that we're working with now are ordering more, and it's you know, I don't want to call it perfect storm. That's the wrong, but it's a confluence of factors that we hope would lead to a substantial uptick in what we're doing.
Okay. And is the growth coming from both the home risk assessment channel as well as the insurance channel, or is one more
sure,
robust than the other?
Very, very specifically, and there'll be some stuff in the 10-Q where you can see the dollar amounts, you would expect in the first quarters that you know, home testing just doesn't happen that much. And the reason is because people are changing their health plans. The health plans don't order more home testing until it all sorts out. Then they start making the orders, and then by the end of the year, they want to catch up and they want to do a lot of orders, and that is an order of having their patients tested. So there should be that kind of seasonality to that. So in keeping with that, as you can imagine, when we sent out orders and delivered them in the second quarter, this large group of orders that we've got in the first quarter, some of those will be for the home risk assessment companies getting themselves up and ready and trained to go. So we should see substantially increased revenue from those, you would hope. And the second piece would be longstanding customers and or different divisions of customers ordering more. And then we have newer, some of these large insurance plans beginning to order from us, starting that whole process again of getting used to us, having some experience with the product over a couple of years. So we see it as, you know, a confluence of factors that are working. But the answer to your question about fee per test would be that was relatively light in the first quarter compared to what we would expect it to be the rest of the year.
Okay. So can you talk about if there's any difference in the cost to generate revenue from the HRA channel versus the insurance channel? So is there much difference at all, if any, in terms of cost to revenue or in operating expenses in general?
Specifically, okay, and Brian, you know this, and for those of you who may be newer to the call, as you know, our cost of revenue, which they call it instead of cost of goods sold here, is predominantly going to be a component called the sensor that we send out and the software, and then whether or not they want our hardware. We are finding more and more that they don't want our hardware, but they'd rather let us install the software on their tablets or inside their firewall. This is true of regular customers, if you want to call it, or home risk assessment customers, either one. So more and more, that's the case. I mentioned during the call that we spent $399,000 on inventory. And since our inventory isn't that expensive, you have a fairly good idea of what does that mean in terms of number of installations that we're anticipating. So that's kind of the key to it. So then you get to the next question. You said, well, if you have a sensor and they're not taking any tablet and you have software and you're depreciating that over 36 years, it's coming up to a few dollars per month. And knowing our pricing, either on a per-test basis or on a monthly basis, a monthly license basis, very, very large margins associated with that. Both businesses, I would say, maybe it's even better margins on the fee per test than it is on the license, but they're both very large. It doesn't take any more time or effort to run one versus the other. At least we haven't found that to date. And so we don't really care. If the business can come either way, we're very happy. The key thing is when an insurance plan asks a home group to take over, they're very effective at getting tests done. when they're asking individual doctors to do it, they're a little less effective. So our goal is to train these people, give them tools to understand who they should be testing. Did they test them? So the analytics part of what we're doing is part of the R&D. So that's going to be interesting because it gives the customers a better handle, particularly large customers, on what their physicians and providers are doing, whether they're getting to everybody they need to get to, and hopefully the next step of which is, are they doing the next preventative step that will help provide a better outcome and lower cost for them? So, you know, we're trying to make sure they capture all their revenue, keep their costs lower, and treat the patients as best as possible. Long answer to the short questions.
Well, I appreciate all the detail. Thanks, Doug. That's all I had.
Thank you, Brian.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the star and the number one key on your touchtone telephone. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the star and the number one key on your touchtone telephone. One moment for questions. And I'm showing no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to Doug for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. And to conclude, really, thank you, everybody, for joining the call, for your interest in the company. We seem to be in a very nice position, and we're happy with the quarter. But thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to updating you soon on the continued progress. And we're done for today. Thank you so much. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.